So last week we talked about boldness. We did the famous psalm, the one that's most known. And the whole verse on walking through the valley of the shadow of death. All because God's our shepherd, we have nothing to fear. We talked about how it made a difference in my life. And how when you truly examine that verse, it really changes you. Well, it's a great introductory verse to move into Acts. Acts starts with a very important message, all on the Spirit of God. Starts off with an introduction. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day when he was taken up into heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these, he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard from me." For John baptized not with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. When we're talking about psalms and living a life boldly, it depends exactly on what this verse is talking about. Verse 5, being baptized by the Holy Spirit. When we became believers, when we put our full trust in the God, when we accepted that God sent his only begotten Son down to die for us because he cared that much about each and every one of us, that he allowed his Son to die a death he did not deserve, to take upon the sins of the entire world, and then rose again, defeating death, taking the fangs from the serpent, the final victory. And then he gave us something more. Because of what Jesus did for us on that cross, when we become true believers, the Spirit comes to dwell within us. This is something that there's many books written on. There's been theologians who spent their entire career doing nothing but studying the Holy Spirit. And I tell you something, the more you study the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to learn one thing. And this is very important, because it applies to all studies of the Bible. The more we learn this one item, that we're never going to truly understand how God works. No matter how much we try and know, we can know a lot, but we will never truly understand how he works. And we have to accept that. Because it's those small things that we can't understand that has divided the church over and over again. Things that are secondary matters, that weren't the main reason in the scripture, have caused people to argue instead of working together. But what it takes to avoid that is admitting we just don't understand. We know what he says. We can study what he says. But we might not fully understand everything about it. But I can guarantee you this. He made sure we understand enough to know what we need to know to live our lives. When you talk to children and you're trying to teach them how to live a good life, how to listen to Jesus, how to follow Jesus, this idea comes to their mind, and some of them will even speak it to you. They'll go, "But Mom, or Dad, it'd be so much easier if Jesus would just stand beside me as I live my entire life and talk to me to tell me, no, you should do this, or don't do that, that's not a good idea, and let me know what's right and wrong. That's why I really need it. Him standing beside me the whole time, if he did that, I'd be fine." Well, the fact is, Jesus said, when I'm here on earth, I can only be in the one spot. I'm going to go into heaven. But I'm going to send the Spirit down with you. The Spirit will be inside each and every one of you. Do we truly listen to what he's saying? These apostles who are with Jesus, throughout his days when he went out preaching and spreading the word of God, showing them how to live their lives, how to act, planning everything for the church we know as today, changing the world as we know it, because what he did through his death. They were present, there to see it with their own eyes the entire time, there to hear every word he said. More than what we know in the Bible itself, they knew from living with him. We know about his prayers and how he prayed fervently. How he had prayed so hard that he sweat drops of blood. How he'd take time to be alone with God the Father. The men who stood there and watched him arise into the heavens. And what did he tell them? Don't leave yet. Don't go out yet. Think about it. These men were there and they're looking at him and go, he just came back. Can you imagine how energizing that would feel? They were afraid. They thought it was over. He died. 3 days later, he's back. He's there with them. He's talking to them. They're ready for him to go. That's it. We're taking over now. That wasn't exactly God's plan. When he rose into heaven, they're standing there looking up. But the last thing he wanted them to do is wait. Don't go out and tell everybody yet. Just wait. Think about it. They're sitting there going, but we're energized now. We know you're all powerful. We know you defeated death itself. We got nothing to fear. We're ready. Let's charge forth. Wait, hold on. But you've done so much in these 40 days. We're able to charge out. We can go plant those churches. We could start the movement right now. We know it. We watched you. We've seen you. We have the proof. We have the knowledge. We have the resources. But wait. Stay here. There's something more you need. For you've only been baptized by the water. You need to be baptized by the Spirit. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time that you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know, or epoch which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going. Behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him going into heaven. They were really confused. They thought he was coming back and it was all done. New reign. They thought they were going to charge forth. They got told to wait. All because they needed the Spirit. Then they returned to Jerusalem. From the mount they called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. This is Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Ephesus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Because they needed one thing, the Spirit. We live our lives today praying. We know we have that relationship to God. We know when we prayed for salvation that the Spirit came upon us. I'm not telling you anything new. But what I want you to do is ask yourselves, are you sometimes thinking like that child did? Life would be so much easier if Jesus would just stand here and tell me what to do. Does that thought come to mind on those hard days, throughout those hard times? Now I want you to think about something and ponder this thought for a moment. I'm going to tell you the scariest thing possible that God could do to you. Could you imagine if God spoke to you and said, here's exactly what I want you to do for the rest of your life. Here's what's going to happen to you. Here's what you need to be able to do. This is my will for your life. If God told you exactly what to do, how scary of a concept is that? By God's grace, he's given us the Spirit to be within us and talk to us. We just have to listen. So think back on the moments of your life. Think back upon this last week, even just upon this morning, and ask yourself, have you opened yourself up to listen to the Spirit? When you've prayed to God, have you listened for the answer? Often when we're praying, we get in that frame of mind where we're starting to think, why isn't he answering? Are we remembering that we are to be Spirit-filled? Are we remembering that God is always with us? Because the Spirit is always with us. The Holy Spirit is always talking to you. If you are a true believer, the Spirit resides within you and will always be there to guide you. It will always let you know how you're to proceed, where that next step is to be. Thing is, you have to be open to hear it. How many times in your life have you just not wanted to listen? Where free will comes in. While the Spirit resides within us, God still allows us that freedom to ignore what it's saying, to live our lives in ignorance of the Spirit. So maybe you're asking yourself, well, how do I know if the Spirit's ever come within me? How do I know if I truly accept it, if I'm able to ignore it? Only you and God can answer that question. But here's one of the things you can learn from the study in the Bible. While you can ignore it, if the Spirit is residing within you, you're going to have that little twinge of guilt. You're going to know when you're ignoring it. You're going to know when you're choosing something else. You might continue to try and ignore it. You might not even be listening to the fact that you feel it, but you know deep down in your heart and in your mind that you're ignoring it and that that's why there's consequences. Whether or not you want to accept that fact's a whole other story, but you can feel it and you know. Someone who's never accepted the Spirit, who doesn't truly believe in God, who doesn't have salvation, won't have that guilt from ignoring the Spirit because they don't have the Spirit. So how do we live our lives being Spirit-filled? In 2 Samuel 6, verse 14, says, and David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. Basically, he was outside dancing, but he wasn't in his proper clothes. Caused a big issue because people were upset that he wasn't being prim and proper. But he felt that urge to rejoice to the Lord. He went out and said, I need to scream the praises to God. When we think of missionaries, we ask ourselves, how are they able to drop everything? Go across the world to where they have nothing. They have no assurance in the world, of the world, of what they're doing and what's going to happen. The answer? They're listening to the Spirit. The Spirit spoke to him and said, give up everything you have. Leave your home. Leave everything you have behind. Go across the world and spread the word for me. And they listened. The Spirit can lead us anywhere. God can ask anything of us. When we come saved, we say, we want to serve you, Lord. When we listen, God tells us where to go. He tells us throughout our life what we should be doing. No, he doesn't physically speak down saying, this is what you're going to do. Today, get up early. Put gas in your car. Go to this gas station. Don't speed because there's going to be police. No, that's not how he works. He gives you those feelings saying, I should do this or I shouldn't do this. Because he's within us. If he wasn't within us, then yeah, we'd have to hear that voice. Before Jesus died and the Spirit came to reside within believers, God spoke through a voice. There were burning bushes. Why didn't it need to happen afterwards? Because God was within the people. They didn't need that burning bush there to say, here's what you got to do. Because God was within them. And how do you accept that something's within you? Because it's going to change the way you feel. So the creator of all, everything we see around us, the entire world, is residing within each and every one of you. Has it changed your life? Are you listening to it? Are you letting it lead in your decisions? Let me give you examples of small decisions. Maybe it's while you're driving. Maybe it's like me and you're at a light. You go, light's turning red. I'm in the middle of the intersection. I need to make this left. You get that little twinge of, no, I shouldn't. But you ignore it and you make the left anyway. And you get hit by another car. And you go, Lord, I felt you talking. I should have just listened. Instead of being selfish and go, no, I need to make the turn now. It Maybe you're driving home your normal route. You just get this urge that you should go a different way. Maybe you end up avoiding an accident. You don't know. You listened. You felt good about listening. You don't have that regret because you listened to the way you felt you should turn. Maybe you end up driving past the church and realize a light was on because the power went out. That's how God works. Can I understand how God gives me a feeling inside that I should just get off here and go this way instead? Or, no, I shouldn't have made that turn. No, I can't explain that in the slightest. But at the same time, it makes a little bit of sense on the surface. If God's residing within us, then it's only natural that we should have a feeling on it. Because he is within our body. He's connected to our soul itself. We just have to be willing to listen to it. When you do, it's some of the strangest feelings in the world. When you listen to that, you're in union with God, and you realize, God was speaking to me, and I listened. I obeyed. I followed what the Spirit commanded. That's the moment when you have that true peace with inside. That's that moment when you feel this joy that just makes no sense at all. I went this way instead of that way, and suddenly I'm filled with the joy. I always go that way. I'm a creature of habit. Maybe I should have continued. But you just feel joyous because you followed the Spirit. This world is filled with believers. But are they truly living as the Spirit commands? Are they truly living a life that is Spirit-filled? Think about all the miracles God has done throughout the Bible. That God resides within you. Are you living like it? Let me put it another way. Maybe you've prayed to lose some weight. And you've prayed over and over again, Lord, just help some of these pounds shed. The doctor keeps screaming at me. I need that strength from you. I can't do it on my own. I've tried the diets, they're not working. I've tried this, that's not working. But the whole time you're praying, you're not getting out of your chair. You're still sitting in front of the couch. You're still watching TV, and you still got your bag of chips next to you. If you're not moving with the Spirit, then no, you can't expect that answer. The Spirit's saying, yeah, get up, move. I'll help you shed that weight. I'll help you get energized. But you got to move with it. I'm not doing it for you. That's not how the relationship from God to us works. We don't pray for it and he just grants it. That's not what the relationship's about. It's about us listening to God because that's what we say we want to do. Lord, let your will be done. Lord, let us live a life to make your kingdom here on this world. When we think of the most famous prayer, it says it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That prayer is praying, Lord, bring your kingdom down on earth. Let me make a difference here to help change things here to work just like they would up there. Are we living a life going, we want God's kingdom here and we're working towards it? We're going to do things like we would if God was standing right beside us because he's within us. We're going to listen to him. We're going to move forward. Do we feel a difference knowing the Spirit's within us? Do we pray saying, Lord, let me hear the Spirit louder. Let it be screaming within my soul. I want to listen. I will listen. Come down upon me. Wherever you speak, wherever you direct, I will go. I will hear. I will move. I will obey. Are we caught up praying for, Lord, let the Spirit do this while I sit down on that couch? Are we merely standing around, staring at the sky, going, Well, is he coming back yet? I see a cloud. Is that one dropping lower a little bit? Is that him? Is that him? Is that him? No, I don't see anybody standing on it. Are we living our life knowing that God is here on the earth with us? He's within us. Are we merely stepping back saying, Lord, I know you're almighty. You're all powerful. You're everywhere. You know everything. So I don't need to do anything. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, don't do anything other than to say, don't do anything without me. Think about that throughout your week. Are you being active with the Spirit? If you remember, anytime I start thinking of the Spirit, the same illustration comes to mind. The old battery commercials for Energizer. We got that little pink bunny in the drum set just going nonstop. He just keeps going and going and going and going. That's exactly what the Spirit is within us. He will give you the power to do everything according to His will. If you're struggling nonstop, stop and ask yourself, am I listening to what the Spirit's commanding? Or am I listening to my own voice? Whose needs am I trying to follow? The Spirit resides within you. Listen. Be changed by it. Shout His praises and dance. If the Spirit's asking you to do something crazy, give everything up. Why not do it? He will provide. Missionaries across the world, if they weren't willing to give everything up, we'd have no missionaries. He commanded, spread the word to the ends of the earth. That's exactly what the missionaries do. But it all started with that one crazy thing. Give up everything to follow me. That's what they did. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, everything that you've done for us is just so amazing. I study it, I know it. But you're just so amazing that none of us will ever truly understand it. Just like we can't understand how you could love us so much to send your only Son down to die for us on that cross, to suffer such agony when none of us deserved it. How you cared for me that much. Lord, I pray, let that connection with the Holy Spirit grow stronger in each of us. Come down on me. Come down on all your believers. Come down upon the church. Come down upon the church of yours that you are head of. Let it be re-energized in this world. Let them realize that there's nothing in the world they need that the Spirit will not provide and guide us towards. Lord, I pray the Spirit just screams within me, commanding me how to serve you. Revive my soul. Let me dance like David with all my might to your glory and your honor. Help me to truly serve you. For Lord, when we get into that connection, that's what's going to make a difference in this darkness. When we truly step forth in the power of the Spirit, your light will shine out upon the world. People will realize how important it is to look to you. They'll start to see that difference. And those seeds will be planted so that your Spirit can pour forth upon them so they can grow a relationship with you. And ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't think of anything more amazing than the fact that the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God resides within me. He gives me the strength. And here's how the Spirit works. As the devotionals in our Sunday school morning have said, we need to study the Word. Scripture is filled with telling us, learn the Word, study it, ask questions on it. Because when you stay in God's Word and you learn God's Word, the Spirit will work within you to do what you know from God's Word. If you're having trouble living your life and doing what God's commanding you to do, then stop. Reflect. Ask yourself the question of whether or not you're listening to the Spirit that resides within you. You're listening to the Spirit of God. Or if you're listening to the spirit of your own flesh. If you're trying to move forward and move a mountain all upon your own flesh's strength. When you answer that, there won't be anything in this world that can hold you back. Your spirit will be shouting joys. And you'll be dancing for God, giving Him the praise, the glory, and the honor for everything. Because you'll know that it's Him that got you through it.